ready for a big Drake May week, Keith?
Oh, yeah. Of course I'm ready for a big Drake May week, Jones. How could I not be?
I think it's
two, not one, but two joint practices.
I think it's going to be a big week for him.
I heard Curran and Phil talking about this. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday. It's going to be tested by Brian Flores at these joint practices.
Some think it's the best coached team in the NFL. That came out in one of those rankings. The ranking that we were talking about where Vrabel and the coordinators, they ranked them all together. They had them in like the 20s, I think it was. Right? It was like 21.
Yep.
20, whatever it was. The Vikings came in number one.
Well, we're going to have to
see
where,
the Vikings.
Where we have them on a Tier Tuesday,
Whoa!
Keith. We are tearing off NFL head coaches.
That's right.
At 11:30. Where does Kevin O'Connell fit in? Where does Mike Vrabel fit in? We'll get to that. But joint practices against the high-end D coordinator in Brian Flores, a quarterback the Patriots were linked to on the other side in joint practices this week in J.J. McCarthy. How does Drake May look versus McCarthy? And on top of that, how does Drake May rebound from a brutal turnover, which we all saw on Friday? And unfortunately, some not great reports coming out on Drake May and the way the first team offense has looked the last couple of days. We haven't seen it. Most fans haven't seen it. Yesterday wasn't even open to the public. But apparently the offense has been trending in the wrong direction. So it feels like a massive, massive week for Drake May going into week two of the preseason. It's not bigger than a regular season game. It's not a playoff game. It's not a Super Bowl game, but or the Super Bowl, rather. But it is a big point on the calendar to see if the offense can get some momentum, because it's probably the last chance we're going to see him in the preseason, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
The last game was one or two series, and we knew that going in. What do you think he gets this weekend? Most of the first half?
I think so.
So he's going to have a last opportunity in the preseason to build some momentum going into the Raiders game to open it up.
Yeah, what's your confidence level in Drake May right now?
It's
teetering?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was feeling pretty good after that joint practice.
Same.
Since then?
Yeah, less.
Yeah, it's going in the wrong direction, that's all.
I would agree. Obviously, a lot hinges on it, as you could say, with any single quarterback. And this is another one where, you know, not that he was going head-to-head necessarily with Jaden Daniels, but we saw both those guys on the field together, drafted back-to-back. And now this week, it's going to be similar. Another first-round pick quarterback from the same draft class. Now, this is one that, for me personally, it wasn't close going into the draft. I thought Daniels and May kind of were a coin flip. I thought Drake May was way better than J.J. McCarthy.
Same.
Now, he got hurt last year in the preseason, didn't play at all, so he's like a de facto rookie now. But you'll see those two guys where both franchises are praying that these guys end up being their quarterbacks for the next decade. And Minnesota's in a much better spot, right? Like Minnesota, if Drake May could play on Minnesota with those receivers and with that coach, like, yeah, you would kill somebody to go play over there. But Drake May's not in a horrible spot like he was last year. Last year he was in a horrible spot and did what he could with it. A lot of us gave him excuses for when things went wrong and whatever else. Those excuses are kind of going away. Like, I think more of it this year is going to be very much on him, because I look at the wide receivers and I'm like, all right, at least they're NFL wide receivers. I look at the offensive line, question marks for sure, but it's more of an NFL offensive line, and we know it's an NFL offensive coordinator. You didn't really have any of that a year ago, so you can't really look the other way or whistle past it like I certainly did last year with Drake May. And plus, it's year two, right? So I think a lot of those excuses go out the window as well.
No, I think you hit on a lot of it, and the idea that he's in a better spot this year, more of it is on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, we might look at it and go, wow, if he had a true alpha like J.J. McCarthy has in Justin Jefferson, or wow, if he really had an elite offensive mind like McCarthy has in Kevin O'Connell, or even if he just had a great offensive line protecting him. And we see that with a lot of different quarterbacks around the league. I'm sure there will be points where we say, well, yeah, he can't do everything, but can he do enough? And is there enough here for a promising quarterback to elevate what's around him? I think there is. I think there's a lot more here than there was a year ago. Even the rookie offensive linemen, I know they had a rough go again yesterday in practice. By most accounts, they were getting fooled by the same stuff the Commanders showed him. And Wilson and Campbell, we talked about it in great detail yesterday, had a mix-up that led to May's boneheaded fumble. So I think they were promising, and I feel better about that left side, certainly, than I did about the offensive line a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what they have in Morgan Moses. I think Diggs and the rest of the receiver room is way better. So, yeah, a promising young quarterback should be able to elevate what's around him, win some games this year, and show promise on the field. And again, this week feels like a real last opportunity to do it for us. And it doesn't mean if he doesn't do it week two, he can't do it week one, and he can't do it all year. But I'm talking about our comfort level with him and our feel for the offense, or just our level of, again, comfort with the offense and where it's going. I think that we'll all feel much better if he goes out there and plays well in these joint practices, plays well in the preseason game. If he doesn't, then I don't want to say it's going to be panic, but I think a lot of people are going to be questioning what Drake May is going to be in year two, and I think that'll be fair.
Yeah, it feels like with him, it's still so much about, you know, upside and potential. And when we were going through the offseason and all the different lists, power rankings, tiers, everything else with quarterbacks, and one of the thoughts is, man, nationally, everybody's kind of down on Drake May, it feels like, or at least they're not, like, sold just yet. And it makes sense, right? Like, I think the more you watch him and the more you see him, you're like, all right, he's going to have to prove to people that he is
on a tier higher. He did nothing on Friday to be like, oh, man, look, he's made a big leap. And it was only a couple of series, but there was nothing in that game where you go, I see it.
Right. Because guess what? Most of the NFL starting quarterbacks are guys that were picked really high, right? So you're like, well, it's the third pick in the draft. Yeah, so most of these guys, like the number one overall pick in most cases, you know, more than half the league, guys that have played and had success and have won more than one game, right? Like, not to just, you know, not piling on the guy, but he really won one game a year ago, made some highlight plays, tried to make the most of what was around him, but also had a lot of turnovers. We were going over it yesterday, comparing him, his interceptions and his fumbles compared to some of the other guys around the league, but also taking into account he got a fraction of the snaps as some of those guys. And so you're like, all right, you got to clean that up. And it's easy to say that. And then team scrimmage, two picks, final drive against joint practice, pick, and then a fumble in the preseason game. So you're like, all right, you're not really cleaning it up. Like, those are all still happening for him.
Yeah, so I would just say, again, the preseason and the joint practice is not the end-all be-all. It's just what we can evaluate in real time. Like, I see the Twitch chat. By this logic, Shadur should get the MVP now.
Yeah, I would give it to Cam Little.
Oh, for the 70-yard field goal?
70-yard field goal?
That was quite nice.
Off the shoe? Holy smokes.
But again, I'm just talking about the way we're kind of feeling about Drake May, the way we're feeling about the offense and the direction of it. This is the real last chance to get a good look at it. And so what's our comfort level going to be come week one about all the work they did in the offseason? This is the last real time to do it. And it's head-to-head against an interesting quarterback on the other side. Again, an interesting team on the other side. I like that joint practices and the preseason game last week were against the Washington Commanders, an NFC championship game finalist 12 wins a year ago.
I wish they played a little bit on Friday.
I get why they didn't. Starters did, but we saw it at joint practice in May. In fairness to him, May looked
May
good
did.
That day.
He did.
He threw a pick late. But May looked good that day, in fairness to him. You're getting another really good team. Did Minnesota finish with 13 or 14 wins last year?
I think so.
What did they have?
Yeah, they were awesome.
And I know they got eliminated early in the postseason. It all caught up to Sam Darnold eventually. But the Vikings a year ago were 14-3.
Jeez. And finished second in that division because of the Lions.
So, I mean, this is another representative team. It's a good gauge, I think. And so I'm not telling you you can't have a crappy preseason and go out and have a great regular season.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you the inverse. You can have a great preseason and go out and suck in the regular season. I'm just telling you, this is the last chance for what we can evaluate leading into week one. And I'd like to go into week one feeling good about the offense and not questioning it. You guys can discuss. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. You can interact. Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Make sure you keep it locked to our Twitter and Instagram accounts today, because we are going to tier off NFL head coaches on a Tier Tuesday. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran at High Noon on a Tommy Tuesday. We got a key for madness for you at 12:45. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. I'm with you on J.J. McCarthy, Keith. I preferred May by a long shot to McCarthy in that draft. I think the reason some fans at the time were talking themselves into McCarthy was the idea of, well, trade out of pick three, go down and get a quarterback who's not a big drop, and then maybe you can get future draft capital, or you could jump into the end of the first round and sort of double dip, I think was the thought process there. I rejected that. I liked May over Caleb Williams. I liked him over Jaden Daniels. Never mind McCarthy in that draft. So I wasn't the biggest McCarthy fan, but I am curious how they measure up this week. Because I think there's a chance, and it's interesting if you follow any of McCarthy this preseason and in training camps and whatever else they've done. I'm not sure if they've done an additional joint practice or not. But the reports are all over the map for him. It's like he looks great one day, he looks horrendous the next day, and it's a real up and down reporting drumbeat on him. So I wouldn't be surprised if we come out of joint practices with a lot of buzz on J.J. McCarthy and feeling down on Drake May. That would not shock me. I wouldn't bet on that. Again, I prefer May to J.J. McCarthy, but I wouldn't be shocked coming out of there. How do you feel about him in year two? Not even necessarily compared to Drake May.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about McCarthy with the Vikings?
So I think he is in a position where he could be pretty good. I just don't think he's very good. Like, now he's gone from dream scenario his last year at Michigan to dream scenario in Minnesota. So maybe, and this could be a me issue. Like, I still don't give Brock Purdy, for example, like a lot of credit. Because, like, when he's had his success, he's had like five all pros out there in the huddle with him and a great play caller. I feel like the same thing could be here. And everything's going to be sort of graded on, well, Sam Darnold did that better last year. Sam Darnold did that. We've seen Sam Darnold play on other teams and what he's looked like. He eventually, to your, you said, turned back into a pumpkin, but he was awesome for most of the season. But that was all Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and their O-line. So I think maybe like he could win games, but I think it's going to be a terrible like 10th overall pick. Like, they should have gotten something other than that. I don't like McCarthy.
Well, I think he's just an interesting test case for the discussion about how to build a team.
Yeah.
Like, the Vikings have everything but the quarterback, right?
I think so.
Really
yeah.
good defense, good defensive coordinator, really good offense, good play caller. They have the receivers. They have a pretty solid running back room. Hawkinson's a good tight end. Maybe fill me in on the gaps on their offensive line. I don't really know. But it feels like they have everything. They could win a bunch of games with Sam Darnold last year. But then when the playoffs came around, they got smoked. And Darnold was exposed. So I would never want to build a team the way the Vikings do. Get everything and then plug in the quarterback. I would never, ever want to do that. Some people say the Chiefs did it that way. So I'm not saying it doesn't work. That's not how I would build it. I want the quarterback. And I will bank on the quarterback elevating what's around him. But May's going to have to do that. And all year long, I think these two are going to be interesting to measure against one another. I think Jaden Daniels elevated the Commanders a year ago. We'll see if the team can elevate J.J. McCarthy. But those are good little benchmarks for Drake May to watch and see how these guys are developing versus how the Patriots are building this team.
I find it funny that for like roster construction, three coaches that you might look at as they can take any quarterback and win with, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Kevin O'Connell, all three at different times have given up a ton for a quarterback. So Sean McVay obviously gets to the Super Bowl Jared Goff, but then trades him and a first round pick for Matt Stafford, and it pays off. They win the thing. So maybe this would be why you do it.
That might be the nicest thing you've ever said about Stafford.
They did.
Yeah.
Well, because of McVay.
Yeah.
They won it because of McVay.
But then,
you know, Kyle Shanahan. Now I know they now have Brock Purdy, but think about all the draft capital they used to get Trey Lance. Like, they thought we need to give up everything to get Trey Lance at 3 overall.
Did they move up multiple times in that draft?
Yes, I believe so. Or maybe the Dolphins moved down then up. But the point was they gave up a ton of future and current first-round picks to get Trey Lance. So they thought even with Kyle Shanahan getting Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl, they definitely needed the quarterback. And then same thing with Kevin O'Connell. Now, they didn't go out and have the 14-3 season yet. We didn't see the Sam Darnold season yet. But it did feel like he was a QB whisperer. And then, to me, they way overdrafted J.J. McCarthy out of all those quarterbacks. And we did a lot of work on all those quarterbacks because that was the year the Pats were going to draft one. I liked Bo Nix way more. I liked Michael Penix more. So I liked everybody more than J.J. McCarthy.
I hated Nix, and it looks like I'm wrong.
Yep, in your face.
And you were very right about that. I preferred Penix to McCarthy. I did not prefer Nix to McCarthy.
But so what was that, fifth? You saw him fifth
out
of the six that ended up going in the first round, but... Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Minnesota is in a good spot. I mean, it's almost QB-proofed to a point, but you just wonder, is that what's going to come back to bite them? Like, do they have another really good season, then they play Philly or Detroit or somebody, and the quarterback lets them down?
So my guess is most fans, if we asked a Patriots fan, who are you taking, J.J. McCarthy or Drake May?
Drake May.
My guess is most fans answer that very, very easily, but to me, very quickly.
Not a homer pick, though. I get that.
Okay. I also feel that way, but, you know, you look at some of these quarterback lists, right? We went over the tiers, not to confuse people with too many tiers on a Tier Tuesday.
Yeah, this is confusing.
Or maybe it's the exact right day to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Mike Sando talked to, 50 people do the math on this, Keith.
50 people. I don't think I have that many on my phone.
Six GMs.
Okay.
Six assistant GMs.
12.
Six former GMs.
18.
As you said yesterday, that's the mark of the beast.
Yeah. Yep.
Five other execs.
23.
Eight head coaches.
31.
19 other coaches.
50.
15 coordinators.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. No.
You said 31 plus 19 plus 15?
No. 19 other coaches.
30,
15.
31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40.
15 of which were coordinators. 15 of those 19 were coordinators.
I don't think this checks out.
That's a 50-person panel.
Yeah.
They had Drake May.
Okay.
At 22. One spot ahead of Caleb Williams, 23.
Interesting.
J.J. McCarthy checked in 29. Now, that's on a lower tier, but that's not like a huge gap between those two. Like, Drake May's a lot closer to J.J. McCarthy, who's done exactly nothing, according to 50 people in the league,
yep.
than he is to some top-tier quarterback.
All right. Give me the six quarterbacks drafted last year in order of best to worst season for 2025. So not, like, projecting forward, but, like, when you look back on it, just this season – who's going to be the best from this group all the way down to the worst?
Okay, we all agree Daniels is one.
Number one, Jaden Daniels will have the best season.
Who would you say two? I think I know who you'd say two.
I think Bo Nix.
Okay.
I think Bo Nix. He's coming off a good year. I don't like Sean Payton, but he's good. He's good for him.
Let me give you Bo Nix.
Okay.
Okay.
Three?
I don't feel super confident in that. Yeah, who's three?
Caleb Williams.
Okay, so that should be May.
Williams.
May, and I almost...
Johnson?
I thought about...
You ever heard of Ben Johnson?
I have. Have you ever seen
Big
any
Ben
of,
Johnson?
You seen any of the clips of Caleb Williams in camp working with Ben Johnson?
He threw a fit. He missed the net once. Who doesn't miss the
he
net?
He missed the net four times.
He missed the net four times. I mean, the ball was slippery, Nick.
This is like us playing the baseball game up
yeah,
the,
me
the
just
conference room.
In the window. Like, yeah, not great. He doesn't look great, but you're going to... I think Caleb Williams...
I don't like him. I like Ben Johnson. Okay. I don't like him. I never really liked him. I preferred Drake May over him in the draft year. I would argue May's closer to two than he is to four. He's not going to be worse than Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I don't think.
All right. I would put him four. McCarthy, I think, is in an unbelievable spot, and so, but I don't like him at all. But even still, I'd put him.
You'd put him over Penix?
Yeah, I'd put him fifth just because Kevin O'Connell, I think, is so good.
If O'Connell can get that much
right.
out of Sam Darnold,
yeah.
then I think you got to look at that and give him some credit.
Penix has got to be last, right?
I like Penix, but I'd probably have him last on that list for sure.
It also could be a good group. You know, it could be like the Burrow, Herbert, Tua, Love, Hurts group, where you're like, those are all real good starters, all from the same draft class.
Yeah. So, look, I would just like some momentum for the offense and Drake May. Our last look at them really in the preseason. I don't anticipate him playing in the third preseason game against the Giants. There are no more joint practices. So this is from the outside looking in. This is our last chance to feel good about the direction of the offense. And I think it's a big week for him, especially considering who he's measuring up against, meaning the Vikings defense, Brian Flores, but also the quarterback on the other side. Same draft class. A lot of you liked him a year ago in J.J. McCarthy. How does it all look? You guys can weigh in. 617-779-7937. We mentioned Tier Tuesday, tiering off NFL head coaches. Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran at High Noon and a Key for Madness for you at 1245. Stay tuned for all of it. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, let's talk head coaches. Are the Patriots already feeling Mike Vrabel's impact? Again, that's right after the update. That was Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons, part of Patriots Monday. Our coverage started up yesterday. It'll continue throughout football season. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. That was Drake May discussing Mike Vrabel and his leadership. And your big takeaway yesterday, Keith, in the preseason game, and I think it was really the first opportunity to see in a game scenario Vrabel's impact. And I think you felt it in a game where the Commanders didn't play anybody, so we need to treat it that way. They sat 30 guys. They played no one. But I think you still saw an edge to the way the Patriots played. I think you saw a pretty well-buttoned-up show from Vrabel's team. They did have the one turnover from Drake May, but you mentioned yesterday, not a lot of penalties. We didn't see the issues we saw all last year where they couldn't line up, delays of game, which I guess May had yesterday in practice, but not in the game. They couldn't line up properly last year. They were highly penalized. They were sloppy, and you knew it, early.
Yeah,
I think we saw a pretty buttoned up operation from Vrabel. And on top of that, I think you saw them play with an edge. I mean, Campbell burying people that's a team somewhat in Vrabel's image, and I think you saw that impact a little bit on Friday night.
Yeah, because it's a lot of terms that are kind of just eye-roll inducing, but you also need to make sure you check the boxes when you're like, oh, they're in and out of the huddle. Like, it's such a corny thing to say, but you do need to do that.
No,
or, like,
you
play through the whistle, right? Like, but you also do need to do that.
You should be able,
like,
to do those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, yeah, I don't want to give you a lot of bonus points for that, but the team last year...
No, it's a baseline.
...did none of
no,
that.
No, I'm saying it's a baseline. And even how many times over the last couple of years, because even the last couple of years of Bill... That started to get away from them, where
so
the opening kickoff there'd be a penalty, and you're like,
"I'm happy you said
that." The first play of the game.
I'm happy you said that because Bill got real sloppy at the end.
No,
too.
And that's when you could tell national guys didn't pay attention, like local guys, because during the broadcast they'd be like, "There'd be a penalty on special teams." And they're like, "You never see this." It's like, "No, dude, you see it a lot."
Right?
I don't know what happened, but it got out of hand for the last couple of years, and then even worse with Mayo. So you need to start somewhere, and that was some of the answers that Vrabel was giving early on when he first got the job, right? Like the good stuff, the bad stuff, stuff that gets you beat, or the dumb stuff, all these different things that he was saying, but that's kind of what he's talking about. And so in the first half, when they were playing their starters and their second unit guys, they didn't have any penalties. And now he even said in the postgame, which I liked, he's like, well, they're offsetting penalties or whatever. So he's like, we didn't have a clean game. So he was even mad about that, but they didn't actually have any penalty yardage in the game, which... Again, if you're not going to have a very talented team, which they don't overall compared to the rest of the league, more talented than last year, yes, but not more talented than most teams in the league, you got to have fewer turnovers and fewer penalties. And then you're still going to be in a lot of games, and you're probably going to win a lot of games just doing that stuff. And it seems like he obviously is putting an emphasis on that. It's just one preseason game, but even at practice, a pretty well-run operation, it feels like.
Yeah, I agree with that. And... I thought they outplayed the Commanders in a joint practice. They won a preseason game, so check on that wall for Vrabel. I'm happy you said that about Bill. I think a lot of people just assume it all dropped off a cliff with Mayo last year, and it was definitely worse with Mayo.
They won the same number of games.
It was worse, though.
It was worse.
I will acknowledge that. But with Bill, it was sloppy at the end. They turned it over. How much did Mac turn it over? Then Zappe got in there and turned it over a ton.
No, but they had dumb penalties, and because for years it was always funny, like the team, like the Patriots were great, so don't get me wrong, they were great on their own, but how many weeks would you look at the other team and be like, what did they do that for? Like, how dumb are they? Like, how poorly coached are they? And then by the end of Bill, you didn't have that week-to-week overwhelming coaching advantage, which you had.
Yeah, it is funny that you lose your all-time great quarterback, and then all of a sudden,
Something happened.
The T's don't get crossed, and the I's don't get dotted, and all of a sudden, you're not quite as on top of your game as you used to be. That
really
is interesting.
But it was more,
especially because that's all the stuff Bill got credit for 20 years.
I know.
And then it turns out the second Brady left, all that stuff went to crap, too, which is interesting. But, no, it started to slip with Bill. Mm-hmm. It got worse with Mayo, and hopefully they're back to a baseline.
Right.
On that level with Vrabel. I think that's the right word for it. Listening to Drake May, and that was a longer exchange with Andy Hart yesterday, and it was a good interview. Again, if you missed it, use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. It was good. But Drake May was asked by Andy if he's uncomfortable as a leader or if leadership comes naturally to him. And he referenced some of the stuff we've seen in Forged in Foxborough and other places where Vrabel's like, hey, go talk to your guys. Hey, go do this, go do that. And I've heard Giardi make this observation too with afternoons, where he says, I don't know that that comes naturally to May. And Vrabel even said some of this yesterday as well when he was on the Greg Hill show yesterday morning. He's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's part of the job. The head coach and the quarterback, you got to be a leader. Maybe your level of play isn't great every single week, but you have to come out and be a leader every single week. Vrabel can get him back to a baseline, I think, easily, of being well-drilled, well-coached, play through the whistle, all those things. The real challenge for Vrabel is going to be maybe that with Drake May. Get him to be a leader, develop him, and is Vrabel the right guy for Drake May? That's where I have some questions about Vrabel. Not the, can they line up properly? Are they well-drilled? Will they be a tough team to play against? I believe all those things. The question with Vrabel, and really the next challenge for him, if he's ironed out that baseline stuff, is he the right guy for Drake May?
Yeah, I think even Drake May's leadership, because we talked about this for Jason Tatum for years, where you're like, all right, he's the best player on the team. Is he a leader? Is he a natural leader? Does he have to be a leader? Like all these different things. And it is a bit apples to oranges to the quarterback, right? Like I think the best player in the NBA, more often than not, kind of is the leader, like the de facto leader. But we saw it firsthand. If you have guys like Jrue Holiday and Al Horford on the team, maybe you can kind of share in that. in football, same thing. Like, you do have multiple captains. You have a lot of guys. Hell, you have, like, you know, defensive guys that probably aren't looking to the quarterback all the time for certain things. But the quarterback always is the leader. And maybe for better or for worse. And if you look around the league right now, some of the best quarterbacks and the most successful quarterbacks, I don't think it's really up for debate, right, about how much of a leader they are. They're all captains. I mean, not that that's even anything, but they're all literally
almost
captains.
By default.
By default, you're a captain. And, yeah, I think we're back to that same conversation. Is it a skill that you're just kind of like born with and you have it? Or can you learn it? Can you develop it? And can you get by if you're not the greatest leader? I mean, like, can he be, you know, lead by example, be a good player, and then can somebody else, like, is Hunter Henry pick up some of that on offense? Or, like, Morgan Moses pick up some of that? I don't know. I think it's pretty important that your quarterback is the guy.
Yeah, and I think Vrabel's going to have to build some of that with him. And if he can, that's great. And if he can, he is the right guy for Drake May.
And it helps with McDaniels, too, because I know McDaniels was with Brady a lot, but he's also been with a lot of other quarterbacks, and he's sort of seen which ones kind of can and can't do it. And so that'll be another guy he can lean on. He's got a ton of, you know, NFL experience.
Yeah, so if he can bring that stuff out of May, especially if that's not what comes naturally to May, that might be more important than the scheme. Like, we know Ben Johnson has a great scheme. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can he develop Caleb Williams as a professional and as a leader? I'm not sure he can. And that's not really a knock on Ben Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a knock on Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Can Vrabel do the same thing here with Drake May? That's going to be a big challenge for him. And I would say, you know, early returns on that are mixed. I think May feels like more of a leader this year, you know, watching him with some of the drills, the way Vrabel has him set up. But he does seem hesitant to, you know, fully embrace that. And on top of it, you got to iron out some of the boneheaded turnovers and poor decision-making that he made a year ago. Not that you expect that to happen overnight.
Right.
But I thought it would look better than it did on Friday night. So you guys can jump in. 617-779-7937. We discussed Mike Vrabel and the impact he's making on Drake May specifically. Is he the right guy for Drake May? And on top of that, a huge, huge week for Drake May and this first-team offense. Two more joint practices. Preseason game Saturday afternoon, I think it is. I think they play noon or 1 o'clock.
Is that
against
right?
The Vikings? Yeah, it's early. So your last
1 o'clock.
Yeah,
I was not prepared for that.
The last real chance for the offense to build some momentum, at least for our eyeballs. Last real chance for them to build some momentum going into week one against the Raiders. And it's interesting, the team on the other side, they built it different. They built up everything around the quarterback and are trying to plug the QB in. And that quarterback is somebody a lot of you liked a year ago, JJ McCarthy in the draft. Our pal Matt on Twitter sent this, Keefe. You tell me if you agree or disagree. Okay. At Jones and Keefe.
Hit me.
Would either of you be surprised if J.J. McCarthy has better numbers / more wins than Drake May this year?
No.
I wouldn't be surprised at the wins. Would you? I'd be a little surprised at the numbers.
Well, no, I wouldn't be. You talk about like just yards and touchdowns?
Yes.
No, I think McCarthy would. So,
the wins would surprise me zero. But
no,
shouldn't
he have more wins?
The production would surprise me, yeah. J.J. McCarthy should not outproduce. I know he has a better supporting cast. All right. Drake May is what we think he is, he should not be outproduced by J.J. McCarthy.
All right,
that shouldn't happen.
Last season.
Yeah, I was just looking up Darnold.
Sam Darnold was fifth in yards, fifth in touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And we all think he sucks.
I'm not a big fan. Yeah.
So J.J. McCarthy, I feel like, could have a better year. He threw the ball 545 times last year. Like, how many attempts is May going to get?
Oh.
Not that many.
May. I was going to say, I assume McCarthy's less than that. But, yeah, May won't throw it that much. That's true.
I don't think so. So I think he'll have more opportunities for it.
So are
you saying, has Justin Jefferson, for God's sake.
So are you saying it's about, well, I mean, I guess it all comes back to scheme.
Because I don't think you
Vrabel's going to want to run more than
May. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's
And
fair.
May will run more than McCarthy. And maybe the team will, you know, I don't know what Minnesota's over-under is. You know, maybe for expectation, maybe the Patriots will surpass it more so than the Vikings will surpass it. I assume he has a much tougher schedule being in that division that he's in. But I don't think, and you know this, you can't just say top passing yards 1 through 10 are the 10 best quarterbacks.
Nope.
Right, because Josh Allen wasn't in the top 10 in passing yards last year, and he was the MVP of the league. So I think just numbers-wise, like fantasy football, here you go. This is the ultimate test.
Yeah.
Fantasy football.
Higher fantasy rank?
Yeah. You didn't draft a quarterback. You're waiting. J.J. McCarthy, Drake May are both on the board.
Higher fantasy rank will definitely be May.
Really?
Yes. He's going to run.
Okay. McCarthy ran a little bit in college, right?
He did. He did run a little bit in college. That's true.
Guy never lost. I never lost in college.
But no, I mean, I think fantasy, if that's our gauge, I would slam
dunk. Well, no,
I'm
just saying, for
Drake
May. Well, because you were talking about numbers. That's why I bring it up. Like, I think Drake May is the better quarterback. And so even if the numbers don't reflect that, I think I'd rather have him.
By the way, because you brought it up, we know
Drake. Are we going to pull up the rankings, by the way, for some of these nerds, see what they have for quarterbacks?
What do you mean? Fantasy nerds?
Yeah, fantasy nerds.
Oh, yeah, I bet May's higher. Because you brought it up, and while you're looking that up,
yeah,
over
he's
there.
15, McCarthy's 19.
Yeah,
so that's close.
That's closer than you'd like, though.
Yeah.
That's closer than I would have assumed.
Yeah.
So we know Drake May has a pretty soft start to the schedule. We talked about that a lot. McCarthy has a pretty easy start, too.
Oh, he does?
At Chicago on Monday night. I don't like the
Bears.
That could
be a Hornets nest.
You like them more than I do.
Yeah.
Home against Atlanta. Home against the Bengals.
So he goes Williams-Penix back-to-back.
Yeah, good point.
That's cool.
Then he has the Bengals. Then he goes Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Then it starts to pick up. Philly, L.A., meaning the Chargers, Detroit, Baltimore. So it picks up in the middle.
Oh, yeah. First 3 weeks without Addison, though.
That's a good point.
What did you say? First 3 weeks what?
Yeah, without
first
Addison.
First 3 weeks without Addison.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna lean on Jordan Jefferson there. So all I'm saying is it might start. What did I say?
Jordan.
I'm sorry. Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. the way it's going to start.
Addison? It's a mess. Just move on. Dump all that, Nick.
Jordan,
I don't want people to hear this.
Addison, Justin, Jefferson.
There you go.
It might start.
You combine them all.
It might start well for J.J. McCarthy, is my point.
Yeah, it could.
But I wouldn't overreact early on in the year based on the way that schedule starts. We can say the same thing about Drake May. It should start well for Drake.
But he actually does have really high expectations because Sam Darnold was there and had such big numbers and won a lot of games. Whereas Drake May took over for Mac Jones. So we were like, anybody with a pulse,
that's
we
true.
Were happy to be out there.
That is true.
Minnesota views it a little bit different.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We got tiers coming up. We'll tier off the top head coaches in the league at 11:30. Tommy Tuesday, high noon, and Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. Speaking of the offense and Drake May, do we need to adjust our expectations for Steph Diggs? We'll get to that coming up next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll tier off head coaches coming up at 11:30. Where does Mike Vrabel fit in? You'll find out. You heard him yesterday on the Greg Hill Show, part of our Patriots Monday coverage. Started up yesterday, continues through the season. If you missed any of it, use the Rewind feature on the Audacy app, AUDACY. You can listen to it all there. He was asked about Steph Diggs. Why didn't he play on Friday? Coach's decision, he said.
Not quarterback decision.
No, that was Joe Milton.
Something else, yeah.
It was a quarterback decision.
This was
decision.
A coach's decision.
He didn't stumble over the words on this one.
Nope.
This is just another coach's decision.
Just a coach's decision is what that was.
I got it.
So I'm starting to wonder, Keith, and I've really, I guess, rode the roller coaster when it comes to Diggs.
Sure.
I didn't really want to sign him because I didn't think he'd be healthy. They signed him, and I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, it's better than what they've had, but I still don't think he's going to start the year healthy. Then he shows up. Then he's on the party boat. He's missing OTAs, which aren't mandatory, but you know Vrabel wanted him there. Vrabel made that clear.
Oh, yeah.
Next thing you know, Diggs does show up. He's out there day one of training camp, moving around, no brace, looks great. And I'm like, okay, well, if Diggs is going to play 17 games, he should be at least what we saw in Houston a year ago, even coming off a massive knee injury. And I'm starting to wonder if I overreacted to that too much. He's leveled off and plateaued in both of our estimations at these camps recently. The drops have started to pile up, and that's from some of what we saw, some of what the beat writers have seen the last couple of days. He had a big one in the red zone the other day. He did not play in the preseason game. He was managed for the first half of joint practices. So do we need to revise our expectations downwards for Steph Diggs?
Maybe. So
even you're saying, maybe. I thought you were going to say no.
I'll tell you, and I want to believe that this didn't happen, but the joint practice day, he didn't start right away with the team. We were like, he's not out there, and the offense was zip-zapping around. And,
that was a Rich Keefe report, by the way. Keefe had it first.
So then we're watching that unfold. We're talking about how good Drake May was. You know, the only incompletions were a couple of drops, but for the most part, Pop Douglas was getting open. Mac Hollins had a good practice. Kayshon Booty's catching touchdowns on Marshawn Lattimore. Diggs shows up later, gets inserted into the offense. How'd it look? Not as good.
No.
I thought about that for several days. Couldn't sleep. And I was like, what happened there? All of a sudden, he goes in there, like, they're going to be even better. Kind of like out of bounds right on one of them, and it was just like So I don't know if he was going full speed. I mean, he should be. He was out there with the team. He's clearly cleared to go.
If he's healthy and he's clear. Yeah, he should be.
And the first 2 days were so promising because he was healthy, no brace, catching passes.
Threw
to him every play.
Well, every start of the session, we're like, there's Diggs.
Yeah, yeah.
Next play, there's Diggs again. He flashed big time.
That was a while ago. Yeah. And I'm not mad or even concerned that he didn't play in the game. It's just that there's been fewer and fewer, ooh, that was a good play by Diggs, or ooh, hooked up with Diggs there. Because part of me, in my takeaway, and maybe this was me really just drinking the Kool-Aid, when I was like, you know what, maybe the receiving group's not that bad. And that was still in my mind thinking Diggs is your one, and now the emergence of Pop Douglas, Kayshon Booty, and Mac Hollins, and maybe even the occasional Kyle Williams just sprint down the field, you're like, all right, they might have something here. But if you don't have Diggs, or even if you do have him, but he's not the same guy as what I'm like a 1,000-yard receiver rolling out of bed, then yeah, maybe you do have to change your expectations.
Let me put it to you another way. Who's been the buzziest receiver at camp?
Pop Douglas.
He stood out and
followed by
Kayshon
Booty, honestly. I think Booty's chasing him down.
Is that a good sign for Diggs? Like the fact that those two guys are flashing and standing out, and they're very noticeable, and there's a lot of buzz about Pop Douglas, great at the joint practices. Kayshon Booty, I think, has chemistry with May. We saw it last year. It continued through the preseason. Is it a good sign that those are the – when we have to say who stood out, is it a good sign those are the guys standing out?
We mentioned
Diggs
in the first
kind
day.
Of vanished a little bit.
Yeah, we mentioned the first day, and I almost would have rather –
you know what I mean? Because like, are they standing out because they're leveling up and they're improving as players, or are they standing out because May's got to throw somewhere and it's not to Diggs?
No, I honestly think they are getting pretty good. Pop Douglas was wide open a bunch of times against Washington, and Kayshon Booty catching on like legitimate corners, like real corners. And honestly, I can't say DJ James is pretty good or you know, Alex Austin's pretty good, and then like, they're not doing anything against those guys. Like, I think those two are playing well independently of what's going on with Diggs. I would feel better almost about Diggs if it was like a Carlton Davis situation where like you saw him look good, sit him out. Like, don't play him. But he's been out there like a good amount with the game, you know, put the game aside, and it's been less and less good moments with Steph Diggs. So, you know, maybe we have to lower the expectation a little bit. I mean, I still think he's healthy. He's going to be out there. I think he's going to be the primary target. Like, I think after week one, do you think he gets thrown to the most? I would say yes.
I do. I wonder.
Yeah, what are the returns?
Yeah,
I wonder how
efficient that is. I mean, he might look to Diggs a lot. And, you know, maybe just chalking him up for his Houston numbers post-injury isn't the safest. Phil Perry's been harping on this, and we read his list at the time when he wrote about it weeks ago at NBC Sports Boston. There's not a good history of receivers coming back from ACLs in that first year. One of the only ones who did it and was productive was Godwin. Now, not all of them at their peak were as good as Diggs, so maybe Diggs starts at a higher point, but maybe guys come back from ACL injuries. They happen. And guys do come back, but in their 30s and in year one in their 30s, what's the track record there? It's not great. So maybe it is time to revise expectations downwards a little bit for Diggs. And if you're doing that, what does it mean for May? What does it mean for the offense?
I had you rank the second-year quarterbacks. What about the receivers that were available this offseason that are all around that same age? Some are coming off injury. I'm thinking of guys
like Diggs or Debo?
Diggs, Debo, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, I feel like are in a similar bucket.
You might have got the best one. I don't think Godwin's. I don't think Godwin's playing week one.
No. He seems the furthest away.
Kupp looks broken. I know you still believe in that 2021.
He was so good.
He looks broken, and now he's Sam Darnold's number two.
Yeah, and we saw Debo firsthand. Like, you might have gotten the best out of that group. It doesn't mean any of them are going to be great. It just means like, I was pissed about
you might have made the right pick out of that group.
Yeah, you might have found the right guy. But
now you're not talking about trades like Metcalf and Pickens and guys like that, because I'd have both of them ahead of Steph Diggs.
Yeah,
out of the free agents or soon-to-be free agents in the case of Debo who were available, they might have got the right guy in that group. I'll give you that. 617-779-7937. A lot of Pats talk here. In the first hour, we'll get back to NFL head coaches. We're going to tier off head coaches at 11:30 on a Tier Tuesday. We'll talk Pats with Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday at high noon, plus a key for madness for you at 12:45. Stay tuned for all of it. But Red Sox lose last night, Keefe. 4 out of 5.
Oh, boy.
It was a crochet day.
I know.
No
what
less.
Happened?
Is it time to start getting a little bit nervous about the Red Sox? We'll do that next.